Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Align IT Manager Tech Talk series. My name is Ruth Morton from Microsoft Canada, and I am here with my co-host, Jonathan Rosenblit, also from
Hello,
Microsoft Canada.
everyone.
And today, what are we talking about, Jonathan?
We are talking about this wonderful concept of apps, and apps for every business is really what we called the show. And really it's just diving into this concept that everything in our world is becoming appified. We're going to have a very special guest with us in a second that's going to talk to us about what that actually means. But just so that you guys know, actually the idea of this show actually came from Ruth's fascination with what was that app that you absolutely loved?
Endomondo. I mean, you may think that your business isn't a technology business, but let's face it, every business really is a technology business. And Endomondo is this Windows Phone app that I was using to track my running and my exercise. And it's a free app. I could download it for free. But the interesting thing about it was that there's actually a store attached to it. So I loved the app so much that, I went to check out the store because they make such a good app. And I just thought, well, and I was looking for, I was looking for an armband to put my phone in so that I could I didn't have to hold it in my hand when I was running. And so I went up to the store and I bought an armband from them. And it just struck me, I mean, what a great concept. I mean, here I am, it's a free app. I don't know anything about Endomondo except for this app that, I've learned to love and trust. And because of that, then I start buying a product from them in their store. But and they're I just thought they made free apps, but they don't. They're a retail store, an online store, but the app is their front end.
Right, and but the app isn't acting as a store. It's acting as a cool utility that you could use that happens to also attach to a store.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing. You can give added value to your users, something that's different. I mean, take the running room concept. Their whole thing is yes, they have a store, but really they want to teach people how to run.
Right.
And it's that whole idea of yes, you may have this business, but how can you draw people in, give them added value through technology, through apps?
See, and what a perfect segue to actually introduce our guest for this show. Today we have.
Really excited to see JL again. JL and I used to work together.
Well,
I
there you
mean,
go.
sorry, I interrupt totally interrupted your introduction.
That's
Go
fine.
ahead.
That's fine. So actually today we have Jean-Luc David, who Ruth insists on calling JL, and then she was confused between JL and JR. Anyway, doesn't matter. The wonderful discussions that we have before we get online with you guys. But anyway, Jean-Luc David actually works for a company called Digiflare. He is the CTO of the company. And you guys are all about apps, right? What Ruth is talking about is actually what you guys do all the time and help enable businesses through apps.
Precisely. The thing we focus on is apps on the three screens, essentially. The desktop, the mobile devices, including tablets and phones, and also the living room experience, the TV and the Xbox 360.
Cool. So what's your take on this whole idea of every business now sort of becoming a software company or the appification of business in general?
Well, I see it as a process. First of all, what you need to do as a business is really distill and get to the heart of what kind of business value you're giving both to customers from a business to customer perspective, or to other businesses if you're dealing with other people. For example, we at Digiflare, we built a tablet application for McCain's Foods, and it was designed to allow their sales team to get immediate access to important information. Regarding their sales catalog and also their product line. So using this tool, they could go on the road and they could communicate and work effectively. And another example is the Yellow Pages. The company went through this process to try to understand how to deliver business value through technological standpoint for both merchants and consumers that they deal with. And at the heart of it, the business lead from the customer to the merchant is what really provides value for the Yellow Pages. So, if you think about it, it can be expressed through a mobile application. It could also be expressed through an API. And an API stands for an application programming interface. So using APIs, it's really interesting that you can get third-party developers to drive business value for you too. And so it opens up a whole host of opportunities from a distribution standpoint.
And Al, can you give us an example of an API?
So I'll reference the API that I spoke of before. It's the Yellow API, which is the Yellow Pages API.
How creative.
a list of all the businesses that are located in Canada. There are millions of them. So you get this rich information that you can embed into your own application. There's similar APIs for location-based services like Foursquare is probably one of the more popular ones. So an API is essentially a data feed of information that you can host into your application. And if you think about the application of a business, it's really two things. First, it's an app that delivers a really compelling experience and a user experience to your target audience. And the second part, it's those underlying services or APIs that feed the apps and provides a mean to distribute your data across all form factors. And it's really the pure expression of your business model.
So it actually sounds like there's three audiences, if you will, to every app that you can think of, which is actually interesting because we don't usually think about it that way. If I'm a business, I usually think about an app for, let's say, my customers. But as we just heard, there's an app, as a business, I can come up with an app for my customers, an app for my internal people, and then also an app that I could sort of enable others to create through exposing APIs, right? It's a very different way of looking at this kind of model where typically, like I said before, we're used to thinking, well, hey, if I'm going to create an app, the only way I can create an app is for my internal people.
Right. And if you think about it, it all depends on what kind of metrics you're measuring. If you're really targeting, trying to get to the largest distribution as possible, try to acquire customers as much as possible, then obviously an API is a good strategy in order to get your data out on millions of apps if possible. And if you think about sales as being a metric, how much revenue you're generating, then the internal app can be a distillation of that strategy and a way of being able to drive revenue.
So now, what I guess if you were to summarize, what would you kind of say would be the benefits of having an app to your business? And let's focus on consumers in this case, right? So if I'm a business trying to reach out my customers, what are some of the benefits that I would see from having an app that I can put out there for my customers?
Well, one thing that's extremely become more and more evident is that the speed in which we do business is increasing, and people want access to information whenever they need it. So, for example, if you're going out to a movie with a friend or a loved one, you don't necessarily want to go home, go onto your desktop and buy tickets. You want to have the ability to purchase them through a mobile device.
It's true.
And if you at the technology headlines, the businesses that are really succeeding right now are the ones that have a presence and can reach customers anywhere at any time. And if you think about it, apps represent possibly the best rich experience you can provide for a consumer. According to the Canadian Wireless Telecommunication Association, at the end of March 2012, believe it or not, there's like 26 million wireless phone subscribers, and 98% of those have access to smartphones. So that's almost all Canadians have access to smartphones.
Wow.
Go ahead. Canadians are sending over 227 million text messages per day. Go ahead.
So if all these people have mobile devices, why not just have a mobile-friendly website?
Aha. Well,
I love that question. I always get that question because the first thing that everyone says is, hey, I have a website. Doesn't that do the same thing as an app?
And right. And again, if you have an, why have an app when you have a website and then you can just update the one piece? So, right.
So if you've ever tried to look at a website on a mobile device, it can either be a delightful or a painful experience.
Yeah.
The best of breed websites use technologies like HTML5 and adaptive rendering in order to provide the best experiences on both tablets and phones. So according to a report by Stanley Research, what they're saying is by mid-2013, most people will be using the internet on their mobile phones instead of, their desktops. So strategically, the way I think about it is you need to be where your customers are. And that means you need to be both on the web and on mobile devices. You can't expect, and you're naive to think that your customers will just automatically find you on the web. And, the right strategy is to have the right presence across all the different mediums that you can have.
Well, and the thing I love about that as well is that, the way I think about it is sometimes, what happens if you don't have that wireless connection, right? If you're looking to go to a website, then you need that wireless connection. If you have an app on your phone, then all of a sudden that company, brand, or product, or whatever it is that you're trying to promote through the app, that now is available to the person at all times, right? And that has to, I would think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that's probably something that gets more of that brand loyalty, that stickiness, that, just making it convenient for the user.
To me, there are three things why you'd want to build an app as opposed to a website, or, why especially building an app is important. The first one is the rich experience, and I think you touched on that a little bit, in the sense that native apps can provide you with rich graphics, and even, if you're building something like a game, maybe for a marketing campaign, can provide that experience for your users. And you're not at the mercy of browser incompatibility. So if you're building a web app, you have to worry about every browser on the planet and other technical issues. And to your point, again, apps work great offline. I think to the second point is device capabilities. So you're not restricted to the limitations of the web. You can use native camera, augmented reality, GPS. You can use NFC, all kinds of different tools in order to provide a richer app. And unlike web apps, your native mobile app sits exactly on the person's phone. It's like a bookmark. And instead of having the user having to go on the web and try to find you, you're there. You're on their phone. So it's definitely an advantage from that standpoint.
Yeah, there is no way that I would bring up Endomondo's website every time I needed to do something with Endomondo. And also, too, there are capabilities or functionalities that you can use in the mobile app that you can't use on the website. Like, for instance, GPS tracking.
Of course.
I guess perhaps they could. Anyways.
Then it gets complicated, and it's not necessarily accurate, so on and so forth. But hey, we have an example even closer to heart. I mean, that's why we actually have the Align IT application for the Windows Phone, right? And that's it. Kind of sits there on your start screen if you have it pinned, or if you don't, when you go into it, brings up all of our latest tweets, latest blog posts, kind of like what Ruth and I are talking about these days, new Align IT Manager Tech Talk videos that come up. And the nice thing about that is not, in a small pitch here, if you will, but the nice thing about it is that when we do publish something new, it gives you a nice little indicator on the bottom that says, hey, there's something new. Right? Websites on your mobile device can't do that. You actually have to go to it as opposed to an app that can remind the user that, in fact, it's there. Right? And that has to go, I would assume that does something for that stickiness or that keep coming back to the app.
Yeah. Push notifications. There you go.
It's a beautiful thing. And the nice thing is with that, all the platforms have it. So, it's not something that, you're investing in the one platform and, you're kind of stuck there. Let's talk about for a second, when you look at the industry and you look at all the various different types of companies creating these types of apps, are you finding that it's actually just basically kind of like how we titled the show, an app for every business? Or, I know some of the managers that I've talked to kind of say, well, apps are really for the retail type of businesses, or they're for the technology type of businesses, not so much for, let's say, if I was a services-based company, what can I use an app for?
Mm-hmm. I'd have to disagree. The one thing that's really important to notice, if you look at the industry, if you look at business in general, is that technology is infusing itself into every aspect of business, whether you're running a flower shop or you're running a running room type of store where you're selling athletic equipment, or whether you're running consulting services. There's technology is becoming more and more important in every domain, and you can't ignore that. So there's definitely room to build apps. And I think knowing that more and more Canadians and more people in general are accessing their information through a mobile phone, you're missing a huge opportunity not having an app. So because applications are accessible, they're offline, they're portable, they provide content and services anytime. So I can give you a few examples of how apps are being used.
Sure.
Is to Ruth's Endomondo example is another company that's doing it is Nike. So they have several apps that measure your physical activity over time, and they have something called Fuel Points to measure your effectiveness at this activity. And this basically leads people to buy their products because they feel the goal of the app is really to make you more active. And as you become more active, you want to have the right equipment to be active.
Yeah.
Another example, I went to the Cineplex to see a movie recently, and they had an interactive trivia game just before the movie.
True.
And what's interesting about that is Cineplex, if you think about watching movies, it's a very passive experience. And they've managed to integrate some interactivity into this experience. So you're actually interacting with trivia questions, and you're earning points and so forth. And the more and more, at least a digital player, we're seeing that brands and companies are looking to provide users with a second screen experience. So an example would be you're watching sports or you're watching the Olympics on TV, and on your mobile device, you can look at additional information such as stats about the players or some more context about what you're watching on the second screen. So it's becoming more and more prevalent across multiple domains, just the variety of customers that we deal with.
And I've noticed too, like not even a lot of the examples you've mentioned, Jean-Luc, are kind of more entertainment or consumer. But I know that Cancer Care Ontario, for instance, which, you know, it's not a public company. It's not a private company. It's in the public space, and it's dealing with cancer, which is, you know, not all that fluffy or you know, it's a pretty heavy topic. They actually have apps on various platforms that will let you go through your symptoms and kind of match it up with what your medication is and a couple things like that, which I think is really interesting. And they are going full bore ahead with, as Windows 8 comes out and as new platforms come out, with putting this out there everywhere that they can reach people, which I think is fantastic. I did have another one as well. I've lost it. Sorry. Anyways, but Cancer Care Ontario was one that I thought was pretty cool.
And what I find intriguing about this particular space in general is that you typically, when we think about apps, I guess just because we've sort of been accustomed to it, we think apps are phone apps. But you know, with the oncoming devices, various different types of devices that are out there, those apps exist on phones or on PCs or on slates, tablets, whatever. The idea is, and I loved how you said it earlier, Jean-Luc, in that you want to go where your customers are. It's actually that simple. So if whatever their primary device is, it used to be that we moved from laptops to phones because they were easily accessible. But nowadays, who doesn't have an iPad, or who doesn't and soon will have Windows 8 slates and you know, so on and so forth. So let's make sure that when we're thinking about apps, we're not thinking necessarily about just phone apps, right?
Yeah, and actually the other thing I wanted to say, I remembered what it was that I was also thinking, was enabling your, for instance, your sales force to be more effective and efficient. So by using your apps to differentiate your business from your competitors, by making sure your salespeople have access to the information when they need it, as they need it, how they need it, when they're on site at a customer site, you know, they can look up something really quickly. I know internally to Microsoft, we have all sorts of Microsoft IT apps to help us know, you know, what's going on internally, what the new products are all like, you know, things that you can listen to as you're jogging or as you're in the car. You know, it used to be that we'd get a whole series of DVDs, and now it's just a simple phone app.
Well, actually, but to go back to your point, Ruth, about differentiation, I don't know if you guys are seeing this as well, but I know a great example is in the financial services sector. I do know that various different companies are differentiating themselves between other companies that are relatively doing the same thing simply by the tools that they give their people to work with. And I know that people are coming to these different companies just because they know, hey, I'm going to be able to work with this tool or these types of apps. And that is a differentiating factor, right? Which of course now adds a whole nother level of apps for business.
Yeah, retaining and attracting and retaining your employees. And there's a huge demand for the best and the brightest. And this is one way that you get, make sure you have the best and the brightest.
So let me ask you this, Jean-Luc. I'm coming to you as a brand new customer. I'm a development manager. I'm an infrastructure manager, very similar to the folks that are watching or listening to this episode. And I'm coming to say to you, it's like, okay, I know I need an app, because I know that I want to be where my customer's at. Now what, right? How do I actually get my mind around thinking about my business or what I can offer as an app? Because very similar to what you were saying, Nike is a brand, it's a company, but their apps, even though eventually you get to a store, have nothing to do with actual retail sales.
So there's, I would categorize, and there's more apps than this, but I would say you can use an app as a marketing tool, or you can use an app to drive actual business value and metrics and to drive the business forward. And so if you use it as a marketing tool, then it can be pretty effective in driving perception of your brand and getting people engaged. If you look at it from the metrics perspective, I can give you an example of an app we built for Disney. We built the Disney XD app on the Xbox 360. And as soon as it got pushed out, we had over 80,000 downloads of that app.
Wow.
So Disney were quite happy, because their goals was really to reach out to more and more customers and try to engage customers. And so depending on your goals, whether you're trying to just provide a friendly front end to your business to be able to say, here are our business hours, here's how you can get to us, here's maybe a list of the different products we sell, or whether you're actually selling the products on the phone and driving revenue. It's the decision process is really to start with what is the business value that we're trying to drive? What's our goals? And then from there, what services do we need to expose in order to drive those goals? And what kind of experience do we want to provide for the customers or the businesses we're dealing with?
Now, interestingly enough, I know just from another show that I do for developers called Developers, Developers, Developers. Again, small little plug, but I had to. But this month, I was talking to Paul LaBerge about app experiences. And one of the things that we were talking about, very similar to your point, is that these days, a lot of the success of applications or businesses through their applications is all about that experience. You know, and even though you may not be selling, or even if you're just displaying information, as long as you're doing something to, you know, delight the user or make them feel special or whatever, that might just be enough, right? But if that's not enough, what to you is sort of like the secret ingredient to a successful application from a business perspective, if there is one?
I don't think there is a secret ingredient. Otherwise, people would use that ingredient and we'd have millions of awesome apps everywhere. You have to evaluate it on a case-by-case basis. It's really getting to the heart of what you represent. And, you know, a brand like Nike, their motto is just do it. And their goal is really to make everyone an athlete. And so if you come in from that perspective and you create an app that helps enable people to become athletes, then you're going to reach your goal. So
I think you and I should test that. If they're successful in making us athletes, then we can consider those very successful apps.
Yep.
Right?
Well, I agree.
According to Nike, everybody's an athlete.
Okay, fair enough. Just some of them move faster than others. I get that. No problem. Now, you mentioned something in there about, I had this thought. Where was I going with that? See, Ruth distracted me because we were talking about athletes and with the Olympics.
Did I distract you with my cough? Did you notice that they put me in a separate room? That, you know, Donathan's so afraid of getting whatever sicknesses that I have that he won't even be in the same room as me anymore?
Listen, there's no app that can protect me from getting sick. Anyway, yes, but thank you.
App where you could look up symptoms. Anyways.
There you go. That actually reminded me. You said, Jean-Luc, you said that Nike ultimately stands for just do it, or that's their brand or whatever, and what they're producing as apps have nothing to do with what they do as a business, but are staying true to the motto or to what they're all about. And I think that that's actually fundamental for anybody thinking about an app is don't necessarily think about what you want to sell or what you want to get at. That's ultimately your end goal. But correct me if I'm wrong, but I think from an app experience perspective, as long as you're building something that will represent what you stand for, so like you said, everybody becoming an athlete or helping people be healthier, ultimately you can use that to get to the end goal, which is selling stuff, right? Very similar to, Ruth Sendamondo, same thing. It was helping her do her fitness, but in doing that, you know, it grew the trust. She now trusts them, so on and so forth. It made her aware of these other products, and then boom, there you go. But technically, one has nothing to do with the other. Right. Is that sort of what you see with most of the apps that you're creating, or do apps tend to really actually just be that obvious and sort of, hey, we're a store, so here's our app?
I think for a first pass, most businesses do what they feel comfortable with. So, for example, if you're the Weather Network, you're going to have an app that displays the weather across Canada, of course. But then once you build the core experience and you provide the information that you expect your customers will want, then it's at that point that you can take it a little further and try to figure out if you can drive certain things. For example, you might incorporate some crowdsourcing of weather and have people report, you know, on top of the weather through scientific means that's gathered, you can have people actually give their own weather reports and things like that.
So, make it really easy for people to capture photos and upload them on the fly. Yeah.
Correct. So there's a lot of different opportunities that open up, especially with the richness of the devices that you're working with. So it just takes creative thought.
Now, is it true to say that when thinking about an app, you want to think about your user first as opposed to your business first? So in the case of Ruth's example, it's like, hey, if we're a photography company and we develop pictures, kind of like a Blacks or whatever. I don't know if they have an app, but just saying. And we make it easier for people to take pictures, then, you know, with a click of a button on the app, they could then say, okay, well, print at my printing company. And then all of a sudden, now you've made that connection. But the app itself was actually about something that the user needed, not about what the business actually was. Mm-hmm. Is that something that's making its way more prevalent in the app marketplace?
I think that's the only way to do it.
Fair enough.
Because if you don't give your users something they want, they're not going to use your app.
Right. What's the incentive of working with the app, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
User-centric design.
That's what it is. And interestingly enough, if we dig deep into some of the design documentation that they have around Windows 8 applications for the tablets or the slates or other devices, one of the first things that comes up is, hey, what are you best at, and what are you doing for the user? Right. And when I read that, it kind of got my mind thinking. It's like, wow, yeah, you know what? As much as we think, and you mentioned this earlier, Jean-Luc, about apps potentially being a marketing channel. But traditionally, before apps came around, we thought of marketing channels as, hey, you push information down to the person, and what you want to give them is that's what they're going to want, and that's what they're going to have. Whereas these days, apps are really teaching us to be user-centric. And really all about what the user wants and what the user wants to pull from you as opposed to what you want to push. Is that an accurate statement?
What's interesting with the Microsoft platform that the interface really puts the content forward. So users typically want to access content, and using that kind of paradigm, the content is king. And I think that's a successful model. On other platforms, you have to worry a lot about the minute design decisions, which may or may not contribute to the user getting what they want. So there's some interesting considerations there.
Cool. Ruth, now, you wanted usually, to say something?
Well, as usual, I'm the time cop, but before we actually
are
go...
Are we at that time already?
We are, but we do have a question from our live stream that I want to kind of slide in there before we go. And we did talk a bit about this, but Seb wants to know, JL, when would you build an HTML5 app versus a native one? And we did talk a bit about this, but do you want to address that directly?
Yes. So what's interesting, HTML5 does provide a lot of capabilities that you can get in a native app. And there's been a lot of debate around this whole HTML5 versus native. I think there are some core things you can't do in HTML5, and these are just limitations of the specifications. For example, if you're providing some encrypted video streams through your app, the only way you can do it is using either a platform like Silverlight or a native app experience. HTML5 won't cut it. So it's really balancing the considerations across those two platforms. And like I mentioned before, if you build a native experience, typically it gets installed on a device and you're able to access it really quickly. Whereas if you have an HTML5 experience, it will likewise be beautiful and work well, but the user will have to try to find you. And
Yeah, so it might be easier to do that, or you might want to consider where do you think your users are most likely going to use your app, on a phone or maybe on a Windows 8 device or on a tablet, or and then make those considerations as well.
One of the great things is just to develop Windows 8 applications today, you can use HTML5, so you get the best of both worlds.
Right. But I think the ultimate point there, sorry, Ruth, the last one that I'll make there, which I still think is fundamental. One of the things that we have to keep in mind about apps is that you want apps to be front and center for the user. So we keep going back to this idea of websites, right? At the end of the day, websites, you have to go to the site. Whereas once you have an app, it can bring stuff to you. So I think, you know, when it comes to an app world, for me at least, that's sort of one of those things that stands front and center to say, I know that people are going to forget about me. So if I have an app that I can kind of interact with them and remind them, chances are I'm probably going to be more successful.
JR, you're unforgettable. People won't forget about you.
You're going to make me blush.
Anyways, that's all the time we have today. So thank you very much, Jean-Luc.
Hey,
this
was
a really interesting discussion.
But we didn't do the calls to action.
The calls to action. Well, here we have them here.
Yes, the first and foremost one is actually there's a blog that our fellow advisors or evangelists or whatever we call ourselves these days, Paul and Thomas have woot.ms, W00T.ms. And it's actually a blog centered all around app building and kind of getting your mind around the appification of the world and building apps. And they have tons of resources on there on how to build apps for people who are not necessarily developers, which is actually great to get started as well. And then there's the, if you do want a technical deep dive, if you go to design.windows.com or dev.windows.com, you have all of the different technical specifications of design languages, blah, 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 blah. I would probably recommend for this crowd here, start off with Woot, and if it interests you, then go on to the crazy technical documents. But
and there's also dev.windowsphone.com, which is specific for the phone.
True, yeah. But I think if there's one thing that we're going to leave everybody with here is think about an app as what you want to represent. And this is what Jean-Luc was saying before, app of what you want to represent, not necessarily what you want to sell, and then marry the two together.
And make sure it's something that you're, that the end user, whoever's using it, is going to want to use, that it fills a need.
Right. And if you're going to build an app, let Ruth and I know so that we can download it, use it, and then tell the world about it. With that, back to you, Ruth, to close us off.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you, Jean-Luc. And thank you, as always, my co-host, JR. We will see you next month.
And hopefully you'll feel better.
Be talking more about cloud. I hope so. Anyways.
Until then.
Feeling better. Until then.
Have a great time, everyone. Thanks for coming.